It's our pleasure to welcome to the show USA Today journalist Megan L. Hall, who writes For the Win. She covers lots of stuff, but specifically the WNBA. And she put out a story yesterday about all the dildos and sex toys, however you want to call it, being thrown on WNBA courts, and about as sexist as it can get, and maybe a chuckle if you're an 18-year-old frat boy. But the interesting thing is that there might be a different bent to this. Megan, welcome to the show. You said that there's a cryptocurrency meme coin. Now, I grew up in the 70s. I don't know what this stuff means. Can you, first of all, welcome. Can you tell us what's going on, please?
Yeah. So first of all, I grew up in the 90s, and I still don't know what's going on half the time. So this is a wild plot twist. And by all means, as a journalist, I've learned not to assume anything. So this was definitely not on my radar at all. But you're right. This has a crypto tie-in. It's for a meme coin. And typically, meme coins are essentially supposed to be lighthearted. They're supposed to be jokes in the crypto space. Now, take that with a grain of salt, because what this group has done is taken that and turned it completely on its head. They have associated their meme coin now with, yes, lime green sex toys or dildos, as they're calling their coin the dildo coin. And they have started throwing them and hurling them onto WNBA courts through the stands as well, all in seemingly what they call a protest to the quote-unquote toxic culture that is within the crypto space that they feel like is being overrun with influencers and scammers.
That's a long way to go to get to that, because I think most of us, some people will say, you're lesbians, so this is what you like, or for the straight girls, all you are is a sex toy to me. I mean, as I said, it's about as sexist as it gets. So to have meandering path to get to the message, I don't know if I buy it. Do you?
So that's an interesting question. I will say this. I think for me, I'm trying to figure out how they put this together, right? Like, that is what I've been trying to wrap my brain around. And I don't understand throwing an object, right, causing that sort of disruption if you want people to quote-unquote take you seriously. But that is where they have landed. They have landed on, we're intentionally causing this chaos. We want people to talk about us. And so to them, it is a rational sort of thought process. They want more people to learn about crypto. Now, against my better judgment, I have obviously listened to quite a bit of, their recorded spaces and that sort of thing. And they have referred to people who don't really know about this as quote-unquote normies. So they want people to, again, that may not be familiar or whatever else, to dig deeper. And that's what the spokesperson told me as well. Hey, we want people to talk about this. And we knew in order to do that, we had to go viral. So the reasoning behind it, opinion or not on my end, I'm just trying to, kind of lay the foundation for how this group is operating.
Maybe it was Big Dilda. Maybe they're behind it. Sorry, I just cracked myself up. Sorry. It's also weird is that I wonder unless you can get these online, but how do you go in and you'd like, I'd like a lime green dildo, please. I want to throw it at basketball players. And the guy's like, yeah, sure you do. So I also think it's weird that in today's society, it's completely normal to buy a lime green dildo. It's like, it's not embarrassing. It's not anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to their space and that sort of thing, there is a guy that admits to being the gentleman that threw the first object onto the court at the Atlanta Valkyries game, which I was actually at that game. And so he goes through this whole story of, hey, I went to the store, I bought the item. He talks about, he not wanting to converse with the associates that were there, walking out, that sort of thing. And next thing he's at this game, waiting for, quote unquote, the perfect moment or the opportune moment to throw this thing. So he made it seem, as if it's a regular sort of occurrence that, again, it's just, if you're going to go buy the item, I'm going to buy the item. Where this takes a turn is not only are they buying the items, but they are then drawing sunglasses on them and then writing the name of their coin on them. So this is definitely like a, you know, hey, this isn't just, we're just buying it and throwing it, but we're, you know, if it's associated with them, they're you know, drawing on to it. Where it goes sideways is where you have incidents like last night where now you're getting a bunch of copycats. So there was a Chicago Sky game last night where there were two thrown, which based on the color doesn't appear to be this group's efforts, which might be copycats. But, you know, for example, there was a purple object that landed on the court, and that doesn't appear to be associated with this group. So clearly people have no issue, I guess, going to go buy them and then subsequently throwing them.
Yeah, I would imagine that the 18-year-old who is so lame at throwing, he hits his own niece in the head. That guy had nothing to do with it. But I also, you know, out here in San Francisco, the Valks have surprised a lot of people as an expansion team that they're not terrible. And I happened to notice that they were part of two of these. And then when you said purple, I thought, oh. But first of all, just beyond this crazy prank, as someone who covers the NBA, what do you think about the Valkyries in their first season?
Yeah, so I will say this. I think there's a red thread there that, like, this group has been particularly throwing these objects at this time. So, right, like, the WNBA just came off of WNBA All-Star Weekend, where you had stud buds go viral, lots of, you know, eyes on the game, that sort of thing. WNBA has been growing to that point. You've got expansion teams like the Valkyries who are doing very well, which, again, this group knows, and they've been throwing objects there. So trying to piece all of this together has been an absolute ride, for lack of a better phrase, the last several days. But outside of that, I think the Valkyries by and far have just skyrocketed past the expectations. I think for them, they have established a culture of just wanting to work. And that sounds very cliche, but, like, these are players who just want to hoop. They just want to go play basketball. And watching them in person, it is magical almost. It is essentially they're talking to each other without talking to each other, if that makes sense. I kind of described it as like almost telepathic. Like, they are picking up on one another's tendencies. They are picking up on where they're supposed to be. Big shots are happening all the time. They are clamping down on defense. So they're tough to play against because they play with that sort of, I'm going to, you know, put a body on you sort of defense. They make it very tough to get past them, and then they just punish you on the other end with these big, you know, with these big shots. And I would give a lot of credit of that to Natalie Nakase and her staff, Ohema, the GM, and that front office. They have fully got players that are bought into the culture, and it's producing dividends for them. I think it's just fantastic. They've sold out of every home game that they've had at Crypto, at Chase. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fantastic. That's 18,000, you know, fans every time that they're playing there.
And they're worth the most of any team. I'm going to ask one question. We'll go a little bit long here if you can. And the WNBA, of course, now to buy, I mean, the Valks were $50 million to get in, and now it's $250 million to get in, and we're going to have, like, what, 3-4 more teams in the next few years. Do you see a point where you would like the expansion to slow down? Because I think Major League Soccer expanded way too fast, and we have a million teams now, and I think the talent is really watered down, quite honestly. Do you think the WNBA, you know, adding 4 more teams, it's still small enough where it's going to hit right in the pocket, or are you kind of worried about the balloon popping?
You know what? I'm of the, like, kind of the wait and see variety. I will say this. I think the questions do start now, right? Like, the questions definitely start of, like, is this too fast? Because you've got 2 teams next season and then 3 more after that, right? And now there's potential talks of there could be, you know, additional teams with all these bids that are happening. I think you do have to get to the question of, is this too fast? Not just from the standpoint of, like, hey, we're adding too many teams, but can the WNBA withstand the growth that is currently happening with its current infrastructure? We saw how, like, just adding, you know, major superstars to the league, additional teams, of course, this year have impacted the league, and they're kind of flying, almost like, you know, building the plane while you're flying, if you will. And that's okay, because, you know, hey, you got to adjust on the fly, but for a league that is continually wanting to grow, yeah, at some point you're going to have to put down a little bit more of a solid foundation. So obviously, you know, I would think that they're having these conversations when they're, you know, taking on these bids, that sort of thing. But from the outside end, yeah, I think there is reasonable worry that, like, this could be too much. You've got with the Valkyries, you've got 6 teams in 5 years. That's a lot of growth. And so how does that impact the league? How does that impact, WNBA draft? How does that impact the expansion teams that are coming on? How does that impact marketing dollars and viewership and those sorts of things and partnerships? All those things are impacted by this. So I don't know necessarily that I'm like panic button worried or things like that. I think I do have a little bit of eyebrow raise and wondering like, if this is a safe growth rate, but I'm also of the opinion that like, hey, you will not know unless you try. So they've got to at least go because they've made the mistake before of almost growing too slow. And now when you have this big boom that we're in right now, and now it's like, oh my gosh, we've got to get up and now we've got to run when you might not have been ready to run just yet.
Great stuff from Megan L. Hall. Read her in For the Win at USA Today. Megan, thank you so much for your insights and your expertise. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate y'all.